Previously on Coffee with Kenobi.
Luke Skywalker, Secret Island, Ashto. Yeah, that'd be fun to kind of fly in and around that. It'd be fun.
That would be cool. That means porgs, of course.
That's of course. Oh, yes. Yes, very cool. I just wanted you to say porgs.
This is Vanessa Marshall, Harrison Dula from Star Wars Rebels, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
Hello and welcome to show number 99 of Coffee with Kenobi, your spoiler-free place for Star Wars discussion, analysis, and rhetoric. I'm your host, Dan Z, drinking coffee out of my Star Wars Galactic Knights mug from April of 2017 in honor of my recent experiences at Walt Disney World. Thank you for joining me today as we sit back and have some Star Wars conversation. We hope to make you think about the mythology of Star Wars in a whole new way and maybe laugh a little bit in the process. On today's show, Tom Gross and I discuss the new additions to Star Tours at Disney's Hollywood Studios. We catch up with the new hosts of the ForceCast, Dan Barry and Ryan Donahoe, on their exciting new venture. CWK newsman Tom Gross will bring us the latest Star Wars news, and in the coffee chat, we discuss Phasma chapters 19 to 32. So pull up a chair, grab your favorite coffee mug, and let's have some coffee with Kenobi.
And now, let's see what's brewing in the Star Wars universe this week.
Before I welcome our co-host for today's show, I had the opportunity, as you know, if you followed Coffee with Kenobi on Instagram or on social media, or if you heard show number 98, I had a really cool experience, and I could sit here and talk about it, but it's easier sometimes in these situations to bounce ideas off of one another. And lucky for me, and lucky for all of us, CWK newsman Tom Gross is here live in the studio. So we're going to chat a little bit about my amazing experiences.
Well, hello, everybody. And yes, Dan, we have seen each other a couple times since you've been back, but we've held back on talking about your experience because we want to get it now. And so last Friday, you took a trip to Disney and the Disney Hollywood Studios to go on the Star Tours and be some of the among the first to experience the new planets for The Last Jedi. So can you give us some first impressions of walking in, the energy, the excitement of that experience?
For sure. Thank you for asking. So, yes, Disney was kind enough and gracious enough to invite me down to be a part of a select group of media to be the first to preview Star Tours, The Adventures Continues. And, of course, the promise was that we got to see Crate. And we did. But we also knew that there is another. That was the hint that they gave us on Disney Parks blog. There was going to be another destination. And I assumed it was going to be Ashto or whatever. I didn't know, or Ahch-To or bless you. I didn't really know what it was going to be. But I didn't really think about that. I was just excited. So one of my favorite things about the parks is that when you first walk in, especially if it's early in the morning or really late at night, you're among the only people that are there. So walking in, they had the music going. It's an incredible experience. So you're able to get a lot of great video. I did a lot of stuff on our Insta story. And there's just a palpable excitement. So we walk all the way to Star Tours, and there's no traffic of any kind. And then we just get to walk on the ride. And knowing that you're, again, among the first people to ever see it was an incredible experience. I mean, really, just, I mean, kind of goosebump inducing, you know? Because everybody was so excited.
I'm dying to know. So are there things that you can tell us that were revealed in these rides? Give us a preview of well, first of all, we would see if we're at the ride. But, of course, some of us are sitting on the edge of our seats wondering, what's it going to be like on December 14th and 15th when we sit down and meet these new planets? Can you, without, yeah, obviously, we're not going to give any spoilers, but give us a sense of what we might come across.
Sure. One of the appeals about Star Tours is that it's constantly changing. We talked about this on show 98. There are different transition pieces and different characters that you meet that lead you on your journey on the Star Tours attraction. And I went on twice, and both times there was a new person that would be a transition person to get you basically from one planet to the next. And for this, there were two different characters from The Last Jedi that show up, and they're very much in their The Last Jedi personas, as far as I can tell. I haven't seen the movie yet, of course. So that was a really nice surprise. And I won't say who they are, because I'm sure, and I'm even sure that it's already out there on social media and on other websites anyway, so please follow up with them on that. Because I want you to experience this for the first time when you see it live to feel that excitement. But I will say that one of the characters is a beloved character from The Force Awakens, and you get to see this character do something that we have not seen this character do. And I'm purposely avoiding describing the gender because I want it to be a surprise. But it's spectacular. I actually cheered out loud. And then the other character that shows up the second time I saw it made me laugh in ways I didn't expect I would laugh because of that character. So hopefully that's a good tease for you. But as far as Crait, going through Crait, it was beautiful. This, you get to basically go through the battle you saw in the trailer, and you get to go under the AT-6s, and the red dust is flying around, and at one point it's hard to see what's going on. And then another character makes a guest appearance. There usually there's one character that will make a guest appearance on a planet, but in Crait there were two. And that was awesome. So both times I went through it, it was thrilling because you're trying to soak in these new planets and these new vehicles and things like that. Also, at the very beginning, there's typically scenes that you will see, but it was very much First Order heavy, and typically it's just been the Empire. So to my knowledge, and it's been a while since I was on Star Tours, it was about 2 years. I believe this is the first time we saw this much First Order at the very beginning of the attraction. And, you know, when you get the First Order, you've got unique TIE fighters and a bold new design for Star Destroyers, and that was amazing too. I feel like I've said amazing and spectacular a lot the last week, but it's hard not to. Those are pretty high superlatives because it was an amazing experience.
Well, that's all good news for us in a few weeks here. Amazing and everything else. Something else, we talked a little bit about this on show 98, but as someone who's never been on the Star Tours, I'm kind of curious as the experience of being on a Star Tour. So I'm assuming it's kind of role played, like we are the crew of a ship of some sort. Can you tell us a little bit more about that for those of us who have not been on this?
Well, for sure. Yeah. Star Tours in essence is you are touring the galaxy. So you're a tourist, which is, you know, very meta because you're a tourist at Disney World anyway, and you're touring different places in the galaxy. So as I said before, you go to Coruscant, you go to Naboo, you can go to Tatooine to be a pod racer, you can go to Hoth. There's a number of other planets that you get to be a part of. You get to be a part of epic space battles that you love. There's one sequence, which isn't from the new movies, where you get to be in the battle at the beginning of Episode 3. And that's awesome. I mean, it is really spectacular. So there's a lot of variety there, and that's part of the appeal of the attractions. You can ride it a number of times, and there are so many different combinations. It's pretty unlikely that you will see the same thing two times ever, probably. Does that help?
Absolutely. Okay, so we've seen each other a few times since you've been back, and I think I know the answer to my next question, because while you're always a unique individual, I have not noticed any major changes, but I have to ask, did Mark Hamill show up?
He did not show up, unfortunately. Now, he did, of course, at Disneyland, famously, but he did not show up on this attraction, which was, you know, I mean, is he going to fly across the coast just for this? Apparently, he obviously did not, but that was okay. It was still spectacular.
Did you have an opportunity to see some people that you knew while you were in Disney?
I did. I ran into Trisha Barr, of course, from Fangirls Going Rogue, and she's always fun to chat with. And then Amira, who I was in the Target commercial with, she was there, so that was really fun too. And I also got to spend a little bit of time with Jim Hill, who's a Disney insider, and it's great to. I've seen him in person once before at Celebration Anaheim. But it was cool to see him again and just sort of pick his brain about what we got to experience.
All right. So I know Disney has some other Star Wars workings going on at Disney World. And so did you get to see anything in regards to any other projects going on?
Right. Well, there were really a couple reasons we were there. One was, of course, to experience Star Tours and to see the new scene of Crait. The second was for them to promote Galactic Nights, which is coming up in December. It'll be December 16th. Yeah, it's December 16th. And we got to do a tour. We got to do a five-hour walking tour. We went through the Star Wars launch bay at the Hollywood Studios. I got to be in the Captain Phasma parade. I got to see the March of the First Order, which is really exciting. I got to see the movies that they show, Path of the Jedi, and then there's another sequence, which is basically a history of Star Wars. Just they go through all the movies in different sequences. And we've seen these different kind of clips and mixing of clips before, but the way they do it really gets kind of the old heartstrings and gets you pumped up at the same time. There was another one we saw where you got to kind of go behind the scenes of what goes into making the Star Wars films and the Star Wars mythology, which was cool. But the big thing I want to talk about, there are two big things. One, I got to see the model, part of the model for Galaxy's Edge, the future Star Wars land. The whole model wasn't there because it's 50 feet long. And that's a lot of stamps to try to move that thing. So half of it is at Disneyland, and the other part of it is at Disney World. So I got to see a section where it appears that you can see the cantina, the future cantina restaurant, which is cool. The big thing, though, I mentioned Galaxy's Edge, is that the last sequence, we said at the top of this that they said there was another, meaning there was another destination. At the end, when you land, you come out of light speed, and all of a sudden, you're in this new place. And as you're landing, everyone let out this gasp in the car I was in, because we knew we were at Galaxy's Edge. We knew we were at the brand new place where they're going to have Star Wars Land. And as you're landing, you look around, you see all the hustle and bustle of things going on, and you're just peeking around looking for Easter eggs. And people clapped and cheered. And even just talking about now, and it's been, you know, a couple of days, I have goosebumps remembering that feeling of not only getting to see that, but feeling the excitement in that car, in that speeder. Because for me, Star Wars in film is always such a community experience, and I very much felt that there. So the second time we went through, there was a surprise of someone popping up that I didn't expect. That wasn't the first time I saw it. But just waiting to see this new planet again was amazing. And, of course, we know the planet now. It's bad, too. And I was very, very excited. I got to be in the room when the creators of this attraction and who are in charge of PR, they announced for the first time that it was Batu, and they spelled it for us and pronounced it for us, and they encouraged us to share it with our audiences, which I did promptly. And that was surreal. I've been thinking about that a lot. Just, I love this attraction since I was a little kid. I remember hearing my friend talk about the one in Disneyland before they even had one, before Hollywood Studios was created, wanting desperately, not knowing if I would ever get a chance to ride it. So we fast forward to it being an adult, and I got to be the first one. And it was just wonderful. I feel very, very fortunate, and I appreciate you asking me about all this, because it was really magical.
Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are the podcast you're looking for. This is...
We are back, and Mark Von Olin of Topps joins us. Mark has some awesome things going on with Topps. Mark, you're probably one of the hardest working people in Star Wars. I think that's fair to say.
Oh, thank you, Dan. I know that the fandom is working really hard as well. So it's exciting. It's an exciting time.
It really is. I noticed one of the things that was huge over the past 6 months or so was that Star Wars Authentics has taken over Star Wars autographs and brought it to a whole new level. And tell us kind of what's going on with Star Wars Authentics.
So this is a really exciting time for Topps. We've had the Star Wars license since the very beginning, since 1977. We always say we've been strong with the Force since the very beginning. And we've been doing trading cards since that first film. Now we've expanded out our contract to do official photos and autograph photos straight from the talent. And what makes it really special is that this business, Star Wars Authentics, is actually a partnership with Major League Baseball. So for all you baseball fans out there, you might know that Major League Baseball has an arm of their business called Authenticators, Inc. They are experts in wiping out fraud in the marketplace. Basically, the gist of Authenticators, Inc. is that every autograph session is witnessed and hologrammed. So you have someone who's an authenticator who will go to the signing, witness every single item that is signed, and then affix a hologram to it where you can then track who signed it and when it was signed and who the authenticator was. So that way you know that what you're getting is a real authentic autograph.
Which is huge. And because I know there's a lot of fake, shall we say, autographs that are going around. So knowing that not only does it have an authenticator, but Topps putting their name behind it, I think that's important. And really it is. People trust Topps.
Yeah, and we've heard that from both fans and from the talent alike that this is a huge value add for them. You know, when I talk to actors about their autographs, they've told me they've seen fakes on eBay and wherever else, and that they're excited to be a part of the Authentics program because they know that this is proven to be real. And of course, from the talent perspective, from the fan perspective, it's the same type of thing. You want to know that if you're buying this autograph for yourself to put into your personal collection, or if you're buying this for a friend or a loved one, that they're getting something real and not something fraudulent. So we're very diligent about the authenticity of these items.
So you've got an all-star lineup of people that have signed already for Topps. And I saw recently that you had, I would say, the Holy Grail. Well, there's probably two Holy Grails. I think one would be George Lucas and the other would be Harrison Ford. So how did that come to be?
Harrison Ford, he's fantastic, by the way. We love him. He's been actually signing for us for quite a while now, and he's been in most of our major on-card products for the past few years. We just got him signed up for Star Wars Authentics as well. So he's someone who signs for us once a year. We bring him all of his cards. For anyone out there who has purchased Star Wars Masterwork, the upcoming Star Wars High Tech, those will go in as redemptions. Those are coming. We also announced him for Star Wars Stellar Signatures, which hits a little bit later this year. He's in there live, so that's exciting. And then the big news is that his autograph photos for Star Wars Authentics will be going up this week. So that's huge news. Certainly, he's someone that is highly demanded by the fans and someone who also doesn't do the convention circuit. So it's not like you have a chance of going out and meeting Harrison Ford on the road at a Comic-Con. You know, he might show up to a panel like he did at Celebration, but he's not going to be signing publicly for the fans from what we've seen. So this is a great way to get Harrison Ford's autograph and to be confident that what you're getting is real and authentic.
Exactly. And I think that was almost, not verbatim, of course, but I saw the announcement about him with Star Wars Authentics. And I think that was referred to as like the Holy Grail or something like that, because we know Harrison Ford for all of his many gifts. And he's someone that doesn't necessarily go around to all the conventions, like you said. And so it's much more of a rarity, which is really cool. But who else do you have signing for the Celebration? Because the Celebration banners, the auction is going on through December 3rd.
Yep, we have quite a few things happening on the Star Wars Authentics website. The first thing you mentioned, the Star Wars Celebration banners, you know, when we took over the contract for Authentics, we were tasked with bringing something like 40 actors to Star Wars Celebration. So for anyone who was there, you got to meet a variety of people from across the saga, including Mark Hamill and Felicity Jones, a bunch of the people from the original A New Hope, like Dennis Lawson and Garrick Hagen. We brought Brian Herring from Force Awakens. We had a slew of people from Star Wars Rebels and Clone Wars, which was very exciting. So they were all there in person, which was fantastic. And we also had them sign, for the most part, a bunch of photos to put up on the site. And where we could, we had as many talent as we could sign those big banners that were behind them at the show. So those are up on auction right now. So if you go to StarWarsAuthentics.com and click into our auctions tab, you'll see that we've got these one-of-a-kind pieces. They are gigantic. They are 60 inches by 84 inches. So do the math on that. It's, you know, it's over 5 feet by 6 feet. We're talking about very large banners. They're amazing display pieces, and they've each been signed by the attendees of the show, including Felicity Jones, Ashley Eckstein, Jeremy Bullock, Paul Blake, who plays Greedo, Ian McDiarmid, Ray Park. The list goes on and on. Freddie Prinze Jr., Sarah Michelle Gellar, Alan Tudyk. You can visit the site and see all of them that are available. The auction will be running from now through Sunday, December 3rd. So you still have about over a week left to get your bids in.
Wouldn't it be cool for a Christmas present to bid on someone's behalf? And if you won, then you could give them that to them as a Christmas gift. That would be amazing.
That would be an incredible gift. You have to That is a different level, for sure. Yeah. And if you guys, you know, if the banners are a little bit too much, we also have autograph 8x10s and 11x14s and 16x20s from a wide range of the cast, including people like Adam Driver, Daisy Ridley, Hayden Christensen. The list kind of goes on and on, and we're constantly adding new people. Harrison Ford will be going up very soon, and then we have a few new ones who will be coming up before the end of the year.
So let me ask you a little bit more about these banners. You've got images of the banners, and they look spectacular. And basically, you've got so many to choose from, all your favorites, as you said, from the film, from Clone Wars, from Rebels. And not only are you getting the autograph, but you're getting beautiful images. That's what Topps is known for, but these things are stunning.
Thank you. I'm glad you like them. We designed them to be just like our 1977 card set with the blue Starfield design. It's kind of our iconic look. We roll out that design a couple times a year, actually. There's usually one card set that uses the blue Starfield, usually our Journey product. That's the lead up to the new movie. And then inevitably, there'll be a convention exclusive or something like that. So when we were trying to come up with, you know, what would be the banner that captures the iconic image of the character and also just screams Topps, the blue Starfield always comes to mind. It's something that, you know, who knew that that art director from 40 years ago created something that we'd still be talking about in the year 2017, as now we're embarking on to not just this new trilogy, but yet another range of trilogies coming up. You know, these movies are going to outlive us, and I think this blue Starfield design is going to outlive me for sure.
Well, think about it. I never thought about it this way, but when I heard you talk about it just now, this Starfield image around the cards is pretty much as iconic as the original Kenner action figures. I mean, that's how long Topps has been working and producing amazing Star Wars products.
Yeah, we've been there since the very beginning. We're the longest running licensee. You can count Hasbro as they were, Kenner as they were purchased by Hasbro. But as a standalone licensee, we are an OG, as they would say, which is very exciting. And, you know, we're thrilled to be continuing. I think that this license has another 40 years ahead of it with the announcement that Rian Johnson is going to be doing a whole other trilogy. I'm really excited about The Last Jedi, which comes out so soon. And being part of the new range of content where there's going to be a movie every year, a new TV show, a live action TV show. This truly is an evergreen license. And I think Topps will be there creating product and hopefully making more and more Authentics products with new autograph signers and new exciting auctions for everyone. I see nothing but upside potential for everyone, including the fans.
Now let's shift gears a little bit. You're in a great position because you're a huge Star Wars fan. I know I've talked to you personally as well as professionally, and you're a huge Star Wars fan, but it's also a big part of your job. So you get to meet these actors and actresses. What is that like for you? Is it hard to kind of rein in the excitement and just stay in professional mode?
Oh yes. I'm a big geek and someone who's loved the property for a long time. And I always have to balance that excitement to meet people. Temper it with the professionalism of, we have to do business as well. So I'm very good at knowing what is the 5-second thing you need to say to someone versus like what's the 30-second or minute long conversation you want to have and sort of gauging what their expectations are. The great thing is the Star Wars family are all very friendly and easy to work with. And they're just as geeky about the property as we are. So I've had in-depth conversations with especially members of the Rebels team as we were at Celebration. I was wrangling that whole section. So in the downtime, we were talking about theories of, what's going on in the show. And at the time, it was all about, what's the path for Ahsoka? And it's still a constant conversation of, where is she going? Is she one with the Force? Or a different type of plane of existence? And everyone's got an Ahsoka theory, kind of the way they have a Snoke theory. So what's great is that everyone we've worked with has been fantastic and excited. They're as excited about Star Wars as we are. And that means that it's being created with love. And I know that sounds really cheesy, but it's true. And you see it in the finished product, that what they're putting out there is excellent content.
Well, that's not cheesy. That's very much what we subscribe to and love as Star Wars fans. And it's authentic. It's authenticity. There's a reason it's called Star Wars Authentics, because not only is the product and the autographs authentic, but you're talking about people who genuinely like the product. And that has not always been the case throughout the history of popular culture. So there's enthusiasm there. And I know definitely the Rebels cast, I probably know better than any of the other casts. And I know, take someone like Freddie, for example. That guy you could talk to about Star Wars for hours, for days. And he not only does he know his stuff, but he's entertaining. So it's got to be fun for you.
Oh, it's a blast. And I could say I was wrangling Freddie Prinze for a little while at Celebration. And in fact, my husband got to wrangle Sarah Michelle Gellar for the whole day. So he was her personal liaison. Some people had individual people sort of following them around. And so we have amazing stories of meeting the two of them. They were both fantastic. My personal treat was actually getting to meet Dave Filoni. That was a little bit unexpected, and that's where my fanboy kind of came out a little, because I was not expecting to meet him. And I was like, Mr. Filoni, I have so many things to tell you that, you're amazing and the show is fantastic. And I very much fumbled over my words, and then I reined it back in. But he was great. He was very appreciative. And he loved that we were treating Rebels with so much respect. We brought a large number of the cast to Celebration. Several of them have autographs up on the site, and we continue to put the Rebels cast in all of our products. And we'll continue to do that because we know how well loved they are by the fans. Rebels has been a fantastic show, and I'm devastated that it's ending, but I'm also super excited to see where it goes. They've really built out the mythology quite a bit here. It's been a real treat to watch.
Agreed. It's made it so much richer, and that's saying something. Who's already a very full, amazing mythology, a very incredible galaxy. There's a lot of stories yet to be told, and I'm really glad that Rebels is going to actually get to finish the story, the arcs that they have designed from day one, which is great. Yep. Mark, thank you so much for coming back to Coffee with Kenobi, and I will have links to StarWarsAuthentics.com on the website, as I said. where can people reach out to you if they want to ask you a question or just say hello?
Yep. So for any information on TOPS, please follow our official Facebook page. It's facebook.com/officialtopsstarwars. You can also visit StarWarsAuthentics.com to see all of our product selections. And if you're looking for information from TOPS, always at tweet at TOPS on Twitter, or you can go to TOPS.com and check out our customer service for product questions. If you really just want to ask me a question or geek out about Star Wars, I'm on Twitter at Darth Von Ohlen.
V-O-N-O-H-L-E-N. And I'll have a link to that in the show notes as well. Mark, thank you again so much.
All right. Thanks so much, Dan. Talk to you soon.
So who talks first? You talk first. I talk first.
Joining us today for a cup of coffee are the co-hosts of the ForceCast, Daniel Barry and Ryan Donohoe. Welcome, gentlemen, to Coffee with Kenobi.
Thanks, Dan.
Yeah, what's up, Dan?
Oh, man, it is so cool to have you two on the show. You've definitely exploded, and you've been, of course, staples of the Star Wars community for a while. And we're going to get into how the ForceCast has blossomed with you two flying the ship. But before we get to that, let's talk about what's going on in the world of Star Wars, as we do on Coffee with Kenobi, as well as many Star Wars podcasts. But we're in sort of a unique place because we're just a few short weeks away from The Last Jedi, which is amazing. But now we're basically inundated every day with new images. There are plenty of TV spots out there. Rolling Stone, Empire Magazine, Entertainment Weekly. Ryan Johnson had that really cool thing on Twitter. How do the two of you kind of navigate this? And where are you as far as avoidance? Because for me, probably no shock to people who have been listening to the show for a while, I saw the last trailer and that was it. So I haven't watched any TV spots. Listen, I watched the first TV spot where Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker walked into the cockpit of the Falcon. I did see that, but then I was done. So I have these magazines, but I've not opened them. I've been doing that for a while, actually. And when I come home from seeing the movie, that's when I go look into those magazines and see if it was a wise decision for me to avoid everything or not. But how the two of you approach it?
Well, you know, for me, I made a decision when The Force Awakens came out that anything official that comes from official channels, Star Wars Twitter account, TV spots, trailers, magazine covers, I'm going to go ahead and check out. Now, I may not actively seek it out. So if there's I haven't read all of the EW or Vanity Fair or Empire Magazine stuff. I'll skim them. We'll talk about what's interesting on our show. You know, if there's TV spots that are on the internet, on Twitter, I'll check them out, because it just, for me, like, it didn't ruin anything for me with The Force Awakens. And if Lucasfilm is putting them out, then obviously they feel like it's safe enough and it's not going to ruin anything. Now I think about usually a week before the movie comes out, I'll just go on a full shutdown. So that has nothing to do with, you know, anything. I just, when it starts coming out internationally, I'll usually shut down. But for me, all that kind of stuff, I get both sides of it, but for me, it's like, you know, even with all the TV spots and magazine covers and trailers, we may have seen 3 minutes of this movie total. So it's like, you know, it's a 2.5 hour movie. So we've got plenty more to see. And obviously I think there's much more to come, in the movie than there is what's shown. So I'm cool with all of it official, you know, but I don't really judge anybody either way.
Yeah, oh, no. I can't resist the hype train, Dan. It's just too, it's too tempting. You know, the internet's at my fingertips all day long, and I get a link that pops up on my phone, new look at Snoke. And I'm like, I don't want to see it, but I can't resist. And, you know, hosting a podcast every week, you can relate to this, Dan. It's like, you, for me, it's almost like self-imposed pressure. I'm like, oh, I got to keep up to date with all this stuff so I can talk about it on the show. And, you know, I don't really worry about it too much. Although you've probably heard me say before, leading up to The Force Awakens, I felt like a lot of the insider trading info, like inside baseball stuff that was talked about, bandied about, kind of put a damper on the whole party for me, because by the time I saw the film, I felt like all the surprise was sucked out of it. But I think it's different this time around, so we'll see.
And I'm interested in that. Why do you think this time is different? I think it's even worse, because Rian Johnson, and whatever, for whatever reason, Rian Johnson or Lucasfilm or whoever has made this decision, I think there's a little bit more that's out there officially, as you guys said. You know, if Lucasfilm puts it out, then clearly it's not a spoiler, because they are the ones putting it out and it's their product. But that's where we kind of get into the gray of what is a spoiler for everybody individually. But what do you think is different about this time?
Well, you're the smart one right there, Dan, because that's the question, the answer's in the question there. Cause I think JJ in this, you know, his mystery box thing is so like laughably crazy, like lock it up. Don't tell anybody. No, you know? So people are just like clamoring for spoilers. I think there's so much we don't know about this movie, but you're right. They've put out a lot more on Front Street. And I think what it's done is taken a lot of that power out of the hands of the, spoiler dealers or the inside people, mm-hmm. the behind the scenes people. And there's not enough for them to go off of, really, you know. So I think putting a lot more information out there has kind of killed the buzz with the behind the scenes stuff.
Right.
So that's good.
I hadn't thought of it that way, but that absolutely makes sense. They're taking back the reins instead of making some big display of it. They're just kind of saying, well, no, we're going to do this. And that may have been true about how they released the news of the new trilogy as well, because maybe that was something they wanted to wait on until after The Last Jedi came out and to see what their reaction was to that and Rian Johnson's finished product. But apparently they were definitely confident enough that that's not even an issue.
Yeah. You know, and I thought about this too with The Force Awakens, because I avoided spoilers like the plague, because it feels like with The Force Awakens, a lot of like actual plot points and things that were going to happen in the movie were out on spoiler websites before the movie. And most of them ended up being true. A lot of people read them thinking it wasn't going to be true. And then a lot of them ended up becoming true. I think this time, anything that came from spoiler websites was all stuff that's been released already. It was stuff we found out in toys or magazine reveals. There's no actual, I think there's not a lot of story stuff out there. I don't know if a lot of people know what's actually going to happen in the actual movie. We just heard a lot of stuff about how certain people are going to look. Or I remember the idea of Porgs was out there long before we actually saw Porgs. But for me, I thought, and I haven't heard a lot of people talk about this, you know, I've talked to a couple people at Lucasfilm behind the scenes about this before too. The Force Awakens was just as much of a bad robot movie as it was a Lucasfilm movie, because J.J. Abrams production company. So I'm curious to see if maybe that played into more information getting out, because you had two different production companies working together, which means you have more cooks in the kitchen, which means you have more chance for leaks to come out. And Rian Johnson from the get-go made this a Lucasfilm production solely, you know, just Lucasfilm. So I'm curious to see what that means for episode 9, if maybe Bad Robot and Lucasfilm together with just so many people working together that, like I said, you have more chances for more people to spill the beans, and it's a different sort of style, and you have JJ working in his own building rather than working in Lucasfilm's buildings like Rian Johnson is. So I think it's a different approach to it. I think they were a lot more open this time with just everything, saying, hey, we're going to show you a ton more. I feel like we've gotten a ton more magazine and behind the scenes things than we did for the Force Awakens. So I think it's a different approach. And then I think it might have something to do with, you know, Bad Robot being out of the picture this time and it just being Lucasfilm only.
It'll be interesting to see what history tells us about all of this too. And what do all of you think about spoilers and the marketing for The Last Jedi, and how are you navigating them? My challenge was, as I've mentioned a few times before, hours before I saw The Force Awakens, the huge twist at the end was ruined for me, because I happened to check a message on our Coffee with Kenobi Facebook page. So, yeah, I know that was not great. But, you know, I
had a quick podcast.
Right?
Like, I'm done.
I know, because we've always obviously been spoiler free since the beginning. But don't worry, that person was banned for life. So besides that, we're just going to be careful, be cautious, and of course, once it premieres in LA, I think that would be the time to stay away. Because if you like, as you said, seeing images or finding out a few little nuggets just of basically design and things of that nature, or very very small items, then it's there for you. But once that movie comes out and people have seen it, that's where you probably need to hide. And you only have to hide for about, 5 or 6 days. And then, boom, we're in the theater watching the latest film in a Star Wars saga.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm actually going to be at the premiere on the 9th. And I just pretty much told Daniel and everybody else, like, I'm not going to be able to talk to you until the 14th, because it's going to be one of the hardest things ever to be able to see the movie and not, I mean, cause when you get out, part of Star Wars is community and you want to share it all. So my recommendation to everybody out there is, as soon as it hits December 9th, you're kind of on your own if something comes out, because, you know, that's when people have seen it. So
that's exactly right. So we will go ahead and take our first break. And up next, I'm going to talk a little more with Daniel and Ryan about the Forcecast. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee with Kenobi is sponsored by Penguin Random House Audio. Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Try listening to them on audio. Featuring sound effects and music directly from the movies, Star Wars audiobooks are the definitive listening experience. From brand new audiobooks such as Phasma and Battlefront 2 Inferno Squad to our blockbuster movie tie-in editions, you'll have plenty to keep you entertained. Visit PenguinRandomHouseAudio.com/Star Wars for sample clips and to start listing now. Coffee with Kenobi is also sponsored by the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to the Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, The Last Jedi, and much more. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for. Let's talk about the Coffee with Kenobi Patreon page and what that means for us as well as for you as members of our Coffee with Kenobi family. But before we do, I'd like to give a very special shout out to Tyler Wiggins, Ben Elkington, Terry Lee, Dennis Keithley, Aaron Harris, Angela Souse, Mediocre Jedi, Christian Dale, Jason Hall, Brian McKinney, Jim Capron, Connie Shee, Mike Audette, Jared Cantor, BJ Smith, Eric Struthers, Nick Deco, and Mark Suter. The thing about Coffee with Kenobi and why we have a Patreon page is because there are a number of expenses that come up when you try to run a podcast, a web page, a YouTube channel, anything that is a part of the creative process that helps you get more involved in your fandom and help spread the word to other people so they can get inspired as well. And as I mentioned, that sometimes costs money, and I'm talking about things like hosting your web page, the microphone upkeep, the cables, when you have computer problems. All of these things have certainly been a factor of Coffee with Kenobi over the past 4 years. There are also things we can use the Patreon contributions for, such as travel for airline, hotels, food, and transportation. And I've been very fortunate to do a lot of traveling, especially over the past year, from Coffee with Kenobi. And a lot of that is because of your generosity. And you get incentives, too. For $5 a month, you get recognition at the start of each show and receive a follow from us on Twitter. $10 and up, you get access to our Discord page, and it's basically a message board, and there's a great app for it that's very accessible. And as we get closer and closer to the end of Rebels, as well as Episode 8, Star Wars The Last Jedi, there's going to be so much to talk about. $35 and up, you get coffee mugs, t-shirts, and depending on how much you contribute a month, you can co-host one show, two shows, or an entire month of shows, and which is four since we are weekly, of course. And it's just you and me and one other guest, and we'll be talking Star Wars and running the show, so you'll get to see what goes on and how to make this podcast happen each and every week and be a part of the creative process and what topics we come up with. There are a lot of great opportunities there. So if you're interested, please email me at feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com or check out our Patreon page, which you can find on our show notes and at the top of our webpage. Thank you so much. We are back, and I am here, of course, with Daniel and Ryan, our co-hosts for show number 99 of Coffee with Kenobi. And we want to talk about the Forcecast, which obviously started everything. I still remember very, very vividly, before I was married, making the commute, when I first started as an educator, that I was listening to podcasts, and of course, the Forcecast was one of them, and it's obviously been an important part of fandom for a long time. And now, in this latest iteration, we've got you two, very likable chaps, to borrow a phrase from our friends across the pond. Tell us basically about your history with Star Wars and with podcasting, because obviously, the Forcecast is where you are now, but that is not your first foray into a larger world.
Well, right. I've been listening to Star Wars podcast a lot longer than Ryan. He's a poser. I'm an OG.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of what brought us together, actually, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right, Dan, that, the Forcecast really started it all in 2006. And, you know, it was 2014. It was early 2014. And, in a past life, I was a, sort of a budding sports journalist. I was trying to get in that field, and I did it for a little bit as a career, but and I covered the NBA basketball, and Daniel is a huge NBA fan. And this was early 2014. And so he followed me when I was covering the sport, and I started seeing his tweets about now, I mean, Rebel Force Radio. So we know Jason and Jimmy, who are on the Force cast, went to RFR, and I realized, I was like, I didn't know they did Star Wars podcast. And so sure enough, I listened to them, and Dan, you know, like I said earlier, man, you're the OG. You've been doing this for a long time too. And I found Coffee with Kenobi, and I was listening to that. And, you know, as my sports journalism career came to an end, I thought, you know, I want to still do something in media. I love Star Wars. And so I literally didn't know Daniel from, you know, the next guy out there. You know, I had no idea who he was. And I sent him a direct message on Twitter and just simply asked him, I said, hey, do you want to start a Star Wars podcast? And I guess it's on both of us how crazy we are that he actually said yes. And so in August 1st of 2014, we started a Star Wars podcast called Podcast 66, which was a lot of fun to do. And we did it for 3 years. And, you know, that's we ended it exactly 3 years later on August 1st, 2017. And then we took the Forcecast.
Yeah, you know, the whole time we were doing that podcast, Dan, you know, Forcecast was going strong with a lot of different hosts. And it's such a big part, an important part of the podcasting community and Star Wars fandom, that it was weird not having it around for a little bit. And when those folks reached out to Ryan and I, it was totally unexpected. And we were just blown away to even have them approach us about anything. And we would have done Podcast 66 until one of us died.
Sure.
So, yeah. You know, that's the only reason we gave up on that show. It was weird though, because we couldn't really talk about it at first. Mm-hmm. And we were like, hey, we're going to end the show for no good reason. We're just going to end the show. And people were like, what? And then we came back. The Forcecast are like, oh.
Well, that's the thing. Daniel and I, in early 2016, right before Celebration, we had just been talking for a long time, because when we started the show, Podcast 66, you know, it wasn't very good at all. And I'm not saying we're experts now, but I mean, it was really bad. And we had actually turned the show into something decent, something we were proud of. We had accomplished a lot in our 2.5 years. And Daniel and I wanted sort of a change. We talked about maybe a name change. We talked about a different format. We felt like where we were from where we started, we accomplished more than we ever thought. So we thought, why not, you know, sort of get a fresh new change. And at the time I was writing for theforce.net, and Dustin, who actually runs all of that at theforce.net, him and I were just talking, and, you know, I think he said it felt like a right time to bring the show back, because he felt like, and I agreed, and Daniel and I agreed that, you know, we felt like that's such a staple in fandom that it's sort of a shame that it's not around. And it started all of Star Wars podcasting. So Dustin and we felt like, you know, it would be a cool thing to bring it back and not try to recreate what it once was, but put our own spin on it. So it was almost like a perfect storm of, we were looking for a change and they were looking to bring the show back, and it was sort of a perfect marriage. And you know, we're really just getting started with the Forcecast, but it's been, I don't know about Daniel, but since we started on September 4th, it's been like a huge blast and a real highlight for us to do it.
Oh, it's great. I remember seeing the announcement on social media that the Forcecast is coming back, and that's as it should be, because you're talking about an iconic show with a bevy of great hosts and guests. And, you know, they did, of course, different review shows for Rebels and Clone Wars. And it's really exciting, and it couldn't happen to two nicer guys. And I will correct you on one thing. When you guys first started Podcast 66, it was always high quality, because it's about individuality and bringing who you are to the table. And you both did that, which leads me to the Forcecast. So when you're performing, because this really is a performance as much as it's just talking with your friends about Star Wars, do you find a different mindset going into the Forcecast as opposed to Podcast 66, or is it really just a name change?
Ooh, that's a good one, Dan.
I have my moments.
I know what Ryan knows what I'm going to say. I want to hear what Ryan has to say about that though.
Yeah. And Dan, you are just Coffee with Kenobi listeners. You guys are lucky to have somebody like Dan. He's the nicest guy in the world. But
well, thank you, sir.
Yeah. I mean, you deserve everything, Dan, but you know, when we did podcast 66, it sort of felt like we were just, you know, we were just sort of doing a show that we hope people listen to. And if they did, cool. If they didn't, that's cool too. And with the Forcecast, it's hard to ignore the history of the show. What Jason and Jimmy did a long time ago. And then with the hosts, like we said, Eric and Justin, and you had Saf and Paul and Megan and all the hosts that did the Forcecast. It's hard to just pretend like the history didn't exist. And so we understand every week what the show means to people, what the show means to the fandom. And we don't sort of wear that as like a, you know, look at us kind of thing, but we do understand it and we're aware of it. And we're aware that, you know, a lot of fans from all over the spectrum listen to the Forcecast, and they listen to it because they've been listening to it for years and they trust it. So I think our preparation really stepped up. I think we're aware that every word we say might get heard now by more people, and it might mean something different. And so we're still the same show. We're still the same people that did the old show. But I do think we are aware of what the show means to people and what the show meant to people a long time ago. And we hope that, you know, you'll still listen to the Forcecast and still respect the history, but also give us a chance and understand that it is, you know, two different people, but we always do try to honor the legacy every week we do the show.
I'll actually answer your question, Dan. No. we're trying to, you know, I'll be candid with you. I'll pull the curtain back a little bit.
Sure.
There were times during podcast 66 where I was just so inspired to get creative. Life has been weird, the last year or so, and it just happened to coincide with the moment we took the show over. And, I just haven't been as creative. And, every week for years now, Ryan does all the heavy lifting by producing the show and editing the show and posting the show. And, my approach to, recording with Ryan has never been difficult, and it's never been different for me. It's just so natural to talk to Ryan about Star Wars. And for me, I think that was part of what made it fun for me before we took over the Forcecast. And I was important to me that we didn't change that. So yeah, I think we're trying harder for sure to agree with Ryan. But I think it's important that we don't change much of what we are doing, because it's got us this far. So
sure, absolutely. And you wouldn't have been reached out to. I mean, there are a lot of Star Wars podcasts out there. And they all have their unique spin, and they all are awesome for their own reasons. But they reached out to the two of you for a reason, which, I mean, that's a vote of confidence in itself. But it sure seems, from where I'm sitting, that the response from the community has been really nice.
Thanks, bud. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing. You know, we haven't had one negative word. And we weren't, I mean, this community is amazing. Dan, you know that. And so we weren't expecting anything negative. But it just really warms our heart and makes us happy to know that, you know, everybody welcomed us and welcomed the change. And it's been, like I said, it's been incredibly rewarding. And it's been, you know, it's just been a short, you know, almost 3 months now, but it's been awesome. And yeah, I mean, and people like you, Dan, I mean, you have an awesome show here at Coffee with Kenobi. And every single time, you know, you're not afraid to share our post or, you know, send us a kind word. So it's that's probably one of the best parts about doing it, is getting to know people like you and all the listeners and everybody in the community.
Well, I appreciate that very much. And I agree with you. I think what we need to do as a community is support one another. And I feel like that happens for the most part. You know, when you retweet what someone announces or like it or comment on it or share it on Facebook or whatever, that helps, because it helps spread the word. Because ultimately what this is about is giving as many people a voice as possible. And I'm just really delighted that you two are flying the Forcecast flag, because it's awesome. And you've had a lot of great experiences in the last few months. Go ahead and tell us, if you will, sort of the highlights for you so far.
Ooh, Ryan.
Well, the guests have been really cool. Even as like, you know, we've had just fellow podcasters on. We've had, you know, people like Charlotte Arity from Sky Talkers and Savannah Kiefer from the Dorky Diva, and we've had people that have their own shows, and that's cool. And then the guest who actually were in Star Wars has been you know, that's been the crazy part too. It feels like a whirlwind. You know, we've talked to Diego Luna from Rogue One. We talked to Freddie Prinze Jr., Taylor Gray, Claudia Gray. I mean, we've had like, the guest list has been fun because to me, it's not necessarily like, oh, cool, you're talking to Diego Luna or Freddie Prinze Jr. You know, that's cool for Daniel and I, but I think it's cool that the community and listeners get to hear from these people that make Star Wars all the time. And for us to be, you know, an outlet for that is just cool. Cause I know it's not about us and it's not about the fact that we're talking to them. It's about that they get a chance to speak directly to Star Wars fans. So that's been probably some of the best highlights is just from fellow podcasters to actors and authors, just talking to everybody that works on Star Wars and does their own stuff. It's been awesome.
Yeah, I second that. And it never gets old talking to anyone with an open ear and a welcome opinion on Star Wars. I mean, all three of us could talk Star Wars to the cows come home, you know. So
and have. In fact, the cows are knocking on the door now. I'll be right back.
Yeah, and it's pretty mind-blowing when you get these creative types and these actors that are actually part of making these things happen, and you talk to them and you realize, oh, they're nerds like me. They're a big fan of the show or they're a big fan of the movie, and it's really mind-blowing what Star Wars can be for so many people. It is a great unifier in my life, and I can't not do this podcast. Like I said earlier, if we never heard from the Forcecast, we'd be doing podcast 66 still, and we'd be coming on this show and we'd be talking to everybody else. And it's great. It never gets old. And it's amazing that so many people, think alike, in that, because there's so many podcasts and they're all finding success. And I think it's great. It's a big love fest most of the time. And we need that this day and age. I do.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a wonderful escape, and it engages, you know, imagination and hope. And anytime you talk to Freddie is obviously great, because Freddie, he's probably one of the coolest people I've ever met in the entire history of Coffee with Kenobi, besides Corey, of course.
Can't forget Corey.
Brian.
Yes. Well, that goes without saying.
Yeah. I mean, he's one of my favorite guests because you can talk for 45 minutes and you may have gotten two questions in, you know, like you always love when a guest is willing to, you know, not necessarily hijack your show, but yeah, I mean, just go with it, you know, just keep talking. Cause that's,
are you referencing this interview?
Well, yeah, we've pretty much stolen Dan's show. So, you know, if you can't tell, I'm a little long winded, but yeah, that's, Freddie's the man.
No worries. I navigate, having people communicate every day in the classroom. So we're in good shape. No worries.
Yeah. You're the man.
And Freddie, you're right. You just ask him a question and he goes, when we got to interview him live in Anaheim, that was one of those moments where you're just looking around and it was so cool. The reason I knew it was so cool is because it was probably the only time my wife was jealous that she wasn't doing what I was doing. Yeah. This is Freddie, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So that's great. Very exciting. And of course, we will have links to the Forcecast on our webpage and show notes. And we will go ahead and take another break. And when we come back, Tom will bring the news. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Vanessa Marshall, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Try listening to them on audio, featuring sound effects, top-notch narrators, and music directly from the movies. Star Wars audiobooks are the definitive listening experience. From Han Solo to C-3PO to Admiral Akbar, you'll recognize all of your favorite characters. Listen to movie tie-ins like Rogue One and The Force Awakens, to book titles such as Phasma and Battlefront 2 Inferno Squad, to classic audiobooks like William Shakespeare's Star Wars. With Star Wars audiobooks, you'll have plenty of Star Wars listening to keep you entertained. Visit penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/Star Wars for sample clips and to start listening now.
The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app features incredible images from many aspects of the saga, including the original trilogy, the prequels, The Clone Wars, Rebels, The Force Awakens, and Rogue One. It's the quality you have come to expect from Topps. It's also easy to get into and really fun too. Your favorite Star Wars characters, scenes, and moments are in every pack. To get started, download the app for free from iTunes or Google Play, and then be sure to open the app each day for free credits to spend on card packs from the cantina. Plus, if you can't get what you're looking for, there's a place to trade with your friends as you complete your Star Wars collection. And if you're an experienced collector, there are exclusive cards, special inserts, and autograph opportunities for you to enjoy. Don't worry about missing the cards and sets you want either, as you can sign up for notifications right on the app. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps can be downloaded for free from iTunes or Google Play. Be sure to download the app and start your collection today. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps is available now. And remember, these are the cards you're looking for.
We're back, and Tom is back with us to share the news. We've got a lot of news today that's going to make you possibly dig a little deeper into those pockets, because there's some great merchandise coming up.
With the release of the Coffee with Kenobi 2017 Holiday Gift Guide, I thought I'd start the news tonight with some new product announcements. OtterBox continues its Star Wars Symmetry Series phone cases for the iPhone 8 and iPhone 7. The new case has a full top-to-bottom image of Ahch-To, with Rey standing in the center of the case with her lightsaber raised straight up in the air. Behind the saber, flying straight up also, is the Millennium Falcon. R2-D2 joins Rey, and of course, down by Rey's feet and around R2 are a few little tiny Porgs. Now, this case is a must for any iPhone 7 or 8 Star Wars fan, and they retail at $44.95 on the OtterBox website.
So really, I have an OtterBox. Well, I had an OtterBox until I started using the Coffee with Kenobi case, but they're basically the same price, so it's not like there's an upcharge that I can tell, because it's Star Wars. And you've got, besides the one you mentioned with Rey, they've got, there's one with BB-8 and a number of BB-9Es. There is a unique Stormtrooper one with a blue and red stripes along the sides. There is a red Star Wars case. I wish there were different color options. And then the last one they have is an interesting one of Vader with this triangle behind him, which sort of looks like a little bit like the things you might see in Rebels. So, gents, if you had a gift certificate and were going to pick one, which one would you pick?
I gotta go with the iPorg, because you know,
look at that. That's good.
Yeah, that one sticks out to me just because I don't know if I can ever get tired of seeing Rey with that sort of classic pose of the lightsaber. But I do like that red one where it's sort of, I guess those are, I'd say an X-wing, maybe an A-wing in those, and then you got sort of the red. It reminds me a lot of like the Last Jedi marketing stuff. So I'll probably go with the red one.
I'd be inclined to agree. The Stormtrooper one is cool, but the colors, just I just don't associate those two. And I like BB-9E, but there's just a lot of BB-9E going on. And then the Rey one, of course, I like the fact that it sort of harkens back to Luke from 1977. But the way the Falcon is, it almost looks like she's got a Millennium Falcon kite. So no thanks.
Now that I see it, I'm taking my time. That Vader one is so bad as crap. That is awesome. I got to get that one.
It is pretty cool. It almost looks like the cover from the Empire Strikes Back album, as far as the image of his mask.
Oh, Dan, I wish you wouldn't have said that about the kite, because I mean, I don't have an iPhone, so I won't be getting one of these, but that was the one that if I were to choose one, I love it because it's so striking, but now I just see a Millennium Falcon kite.
This segment is not sponsored by Otter.
No. Well, we'll move on to our next story. Gentle Giant has released information about what they are calling the R2-D2 life-size monument. You have probably seen the model for this monument if you've ever owned the original Kenner R2-D2 action figure, because it's actually a giant replica of the original R2 figure. These 3.5 foot tall monuments are created from digital scans of authentic mint condition 3.75 inch figures. They include a vac metal dome with articulated head and legs. And I know the first thing I thought of when I saw this was, does it click like the original figure does? And indeed, it clicks when the head turns just like the original figure. Now, the life-size R2-D2 monument comes in at $2,800.
That's right, $2,800. When I first told you about this, that was the first thing you asked me. Does it click? Look, if money was no option, I've always wanted to have a scaled R2-D2 anyway, and I wanted the original Gentle Giant one that was just the one from the films. But this, I feel like if I had this instead, I would be more than happy with it because there's so many wonderful memories with these Kenner action figures. In fact, I'm looking at my entire collection right now in the office in the CWK studios, but $2,800 is awfully steep. It's really fun. In fact, you should have seen the look when I told my wife about this. She said, please no. I said, don't worry. I'm not going to do that, but it's really, really cool. Hey, if anybody can do it, right on.
This is amazing. Oh my man, I want it, but I have never seen $2,800 in my life. I'm a struggling musician, so.
I like how on the Gentle Giant website, it says that the deposit price is 1 cent. Yes. And to reserve it, and they're gonna refund that within 24 hours. Like, I'm paying $2,800 for an R2-D2, you know, 1 cent, really, you know, thanks for the refund. But yeah, no, this thing is, this is one of those ones where when you have people over to your house that are old school Star Wars fans, this is the one that's going to grab you some street cred because this thing is awesome.
Oh, I agree. This would be, I used to think the ultimate would be the scaled replica of Han and Carbonite, but this may be a close second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really don't think there's too many other figures that you could get away with this. Now they have life-size ones of Boba Fett and Stormtrooper and Vader that I've seen at Hollywood Studios and at Lucasfilm. And they're amazing, but there's just something about the charm of R2 because this isn't a screen accurate R2. It's just that Kenner one that we love so much. So it's pretty cool. And I'm pretty sure, in fact, I think Steve has said this on our show, but I'm pretty sure that all of these have been scanned from the items at Rancho Obi-Wan.
Hmm. Oh, is that right?
I think so. Because, I mean, obviously he's got pristine, you know, items.
Mm-hmm. One thing I like about this one and what makes Dan, when you're talking about like how this figure is so unique and would be the one to get is, you know, I look at, I've got about three of these R2s in the, you know, in 3¾-inch, almost none of them have the detail of the body left in them because they are played with so much that the body, the barrel body artwork or whatever you want to call that is all worn off. Yeah. And so as I'm looking at this image of the replica, it's like, oh, that's what it used to look like. Mm.
No, it's true. I kind of had a similar reaction to that as well.
Well, finally, my favorite magazine that I never read is Rolling Stone. And it released this week.
Is there a favorite magazine that you do read?
Well, I'm sure there is, but Rolling Stone is the favorite one that I don't read. You know, I used to read it all the time as a kid, but now I never have time to read it, but I love to look at the cover. So speaking of the cover, they released this week, it's their December 14th issue cover with Star Wars The Last Jedi headlining. On the cover is Rey with a lightsaber ignited, and with Luke and an unmasked Kylo Ren standing off behind her off of either shoulder. And the title of the cover story is Jedi Confidential, The Dark New Star Wars. The cover release is accompanied with an article that includes interviews with Daisy Ridley, Mark Hamill, Adam Driver, and director Rian Johnson. Because of the warning of spoilers or more information than we may not really want to know at this point, I will say I skimmed the article and found the interviews to be quite raw with language. Of course, it's Rolling Stone, so that is now no surprise. But the actors give some really clear point of view of their characters that may explain their actions or beliefs. I also noticed in skimming that there's a discussion of working with Carrie Fisher on the film, and the article includes an on-set image of Ryan and Carrie with the set crew in the background. The online article also includes other safe non-spoiler images of Luke and Rey, Kylo Ren, and Finn. Now, I don't know how you guys are feeling, but this release, for some reason, has really got the excitement seriously beginning to build in me.
It's interesting that you bring this up because at the top of the show, Daniel and Ryan and myself talked about all these releases with magazines and images and interviews. And I do appreciate very much you scanning this, because I already decided I'm not going to read this. I'm not going to look at the images. I did look at the cover because you just couldn't really avoid it. It was just there, which is really neat. Rolling Stone always has a way of getting the genre right, but then making it kind of glamorized or sexy. You know what I mean? They just kind of stylize it in such a way. And that's definitely the case here. They all look really, really cool. Luke looks, and Mark Hamill, I suppose I should say, looks more casual in this image than he does in any other stills we've seen of him as Luke for The Last Jedi. So that's kind of neat to see. But I am not going to read it until after I see the movie. However, knowing that they are very raw and honest about their character motivations, that's got me pretty excited. So I will definitely be diving into that after I see the film.
Yeah, I usually like to collect all of the magazines that come for the new movies. I didn't do it for the prequels, and I kind of regret that. So, yeah, I'm probably not. I mean, we're going to talk about some things that we might think are important on our show, but for the most part, I think I'm with you guys. I think I'm just going to skim it, and I think I'm going to just collect it, because I got all the ones from The Force Awakens. I got all the ones so far for The Last Jedi. So this is, to me, it's just, these covers and these stories are kind of cool to go back and read like 10 years from now and pull them out of your collection and kind of look at sort of where we were leading up to this. Cause you know, we only get to lead up to movies ever so often. So yeah, it's really cool to see.
You know, that's interesting. This article in Rolling Stone, Tom, that you brought, I hadn't looked at it yet, but just skimming over it, one thing that jumps out to me was the language Daisy Ridley uses in the interviews is jarring. Not that she's not allowed, she's an adult, but I'm just like, she's only done these two movies that most people know of. A lot of little girls are probably reading this, so it's like weird.
Yeah, it's important to put that caveat out there as well, because obviously a lot of our listeners have kids or have families, so they need to be aware of that. But I mean, part of that is just, you know, like you said, the raw nature of things. Find it interesting.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me. It just took me back. I was like,
it was a little, it was a little jarring.
It definitely is, because you picture Rey as just being, I don't know, sort of like something that little boys and girls look up to. So yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. Well, Tom, thank you as always for bringing this over to our attention, and I can't wait to see how many people are going to run out and add their R2-D2 to their General Giant cards.
Indeed, it's my pleasure.
So we'll go ahead and take our next break, and when we return, we will continue our CWK book study on Phasma. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee with Kenobi was sponsored by Penguin Random House Audio. Looking to catch up on the latest Star Wars books? Try listening to them on audio. Featuring sound effects and music directly from the movies, Star Wars audiobooks are the definitive listening experience. From brand new audiobooks such as Phasma and Battlefront 2 Inferno Squad to our blockbuster movie tie-in editions, you'll have plenty to keep you entertained. Visit penguinrandomhouseaudio.com/Star Wars for sample clips and to start listening now. Coffee with Kenobi was also sponsored by the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to the Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, and now The Last Jedi. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for. It's time for our coffee chat, and in today's coffee chat, as promised, we are going to discuss chapters 19 to 32 of Phasma. It was a lot of reading over the past 2 weeks, and really, really enjoyable. A lot of pages, as I mentioned, but we learned so much more about Phasma, and I've said this often throughout this book study. And basically, I am going to turn to a great friend of Coffee with Kenobi, Dave Motters, and he sent us an email, and he wrote, There are many reasons you are a Jedi Master. One of them is that you helped me keep going when I was struggling with the slow start to this book. This section of chapters really kept my interest and revealed the answer to the huge mystery surrounding Brendel Hux's death in Chapter 32. So he has four main points, actually. So I'm just going to address each of these, and they kind of tie in perfectly to what I want to talk about with this, because there are so many chapters, it would be hard to go through with that kind of detail and still keep the show within about an hour time frame. But we will certainly do our best to approach what's going on. So, yes. Now, I personally didn't think there was a slow start to the book because I was so captivated by Phasma's controlled animal nature and wildness and her strategy and basically the way that she was determined to survive and thrive, and it didn't really matter who was in the way, and we see this a lot. Finally, all this stuff that's been going on with the kidnapping of the Resistance spy, and she's able to tell Cardinal everything that's going on and everything that has happened to Phasma to get her off of Parnassus and to accompany the First Order and become who she is in the ranks. And then we find out, and of course, as you know, since we are discussing this book, there will be spoilers. So if you have not read Phasma and plan on doing so, I would highly suggest that you skip this part and come back to it after you've finished the novel, and I'll give you a few moments here. All right, I am assuming that you have read or do not mind this part being revealed, but we do find out that Brendel Hux is or was murdered by Phasma. V has slowly been revealing all this information, and she says Phasma watches Brendel Hux destroy or take, not destroy, it doesn't destroy Parnassus, but he launches a number of weaponry at Parnassus and basically blows up or attacks all of the sections of that planet where he and everybody, including Phasma, face adversity. She watches, and the description from our narrator, Siv, is that, or no, not Siv, actually, this is V that's describing this. It almost seems as if Phasma is weeping, but there's no evidence of that because, of course, she has her helmet on and she's very staunch and deliberate in her actions, and she just stares into space. So the story goes that she took one of those gold beetles that are so prolific in this story and slips one on Hux, and it infects him, and he gets pale, and then his veins start to appear, and then eventually he explodes into this watery liquid and mysteriously dies. So Cardinal finds this out, and he shocks V one more time to knock her out, basically, and then he goes to tell Hux, Armitage Hux, the son, about this, and basically he says, do you have proof? And Cardinal says, well, not exactly. And he says, good, I knew about this. I hated my father, and this is something that Phasma and I had planned for a long time, and basically you should keep this to yourself if you know it's good for you. So I gotta say, I kind of expected that. I figured that the way they talked about the younger Hux, that he didn't like his father, that seemed pretty clear. So it didn't surprise me that he orchestrated or helped to orchestrate the death of his father. Very much a primal animal eating its young, even though this is the reverse method of that. He's just a guy, and I'm talking about Hux, Armitage Hux, he's just someone that really creeps me out. He's nasty. There doesn't appear to be anything redeeming about him. He appears to have kind of an evil nature like the Emperor does. And even seeing him on Star Tours, I just thought, oh, this is not a nice person. It'd be hard to root for someone like Armitage Hux. Let's move on to the second point that Dave brings up. He says, the chapters on the Uratu really reminded me of the classic book, The Lord of the Flies. What a mess that city was, by the way. I'm never eating skin wolves. I'd rather starve. Yes, David, I agree with you. So the section he's referring to is most of, I would say, a good chunk of what we read for today. And they get captured in this desert trap, basically, and brought into this small city that is a paradox because everyone is dressed beautifully, but most of the people there are starving and just very much a shadow of their humanity. There's a really cryptic scene at the beginning of this where Phasma and Civ and everyone that is in their party are in this little jail. And of course, Phasma establishes herself as the Alpha. And one of the troopers dies from being captured, stormtroopers of the First Order. And these half-dead people that are just, you know, skin and bones, they come over and essentially they cannibalize the stormtrooper. It's awful, very zombie, nasty, really not my cup of tea. But it certainly shows how bleak things are. So the Aratu is this very eccentric character that essentially wants to be entertained. And Phasma says, my talent is death. And he's like, yeah, okay, whatever. Let's see what you got. You better entertain me or else. The rules go that if you entertain the Aratu, he will feed you and keep you comfortable. And eventually he may even allow you to be free. But really, to be free on Parnassus isn't really freedom at all. So there's really no win here. The win, however, is us, because David mentioned this as Lord of the Flies, and I could see that. I saw it more like Gladiator or something, you know, to that nature, but even more creepy and dark and malicious. Phasma gets the snot beat out of her quite viciously, and it appears that Brendel Hux gives her some sort of inoculation that heals her quickly. They haven't explained it yet so far in the book. She and her warriors execute this plan where she jumps off one of the warriors' back and lands up in the balcony section. And before the Aratu even knows what's going on, she cuts off his head while he's still smiling. And she becomes a new Aratu, eventually leading to them escaping because she doesn't want anything to do with this place. And I got to say, that was one of the highlights of the book so far, because for all of her awfulness, and she is awful, that was a really entertaining, exciting scene. That was, you really felt hopeless in this part of the book. And I think Delilah Dawson has done a masterful job of bringing these different emotions to this book and still managing to get you to find someone to root for, and that would be Civ, of course. Let's move to Dave's point number three. My view of Phasma has truly changed from what I thought about after The Force Awakens. As you said in a previous podcast, Phasma is a cancer that is growing more and more evil and ruthless. As I've heard some other Star Wars fans who have read Phasma, I'm worried for Finn in his fight with her in The Last Jedi. She's been a lifetime fighting to survive and will do anything to prevail. I agree with you. In fact, not only has this book allowed me to see Phasma in a whole new light and really appreciate and respect and almost fear her, you know, in a fictional way, of course, I thought, now that I think about the thing with Finn, as we mentioned before, I don't see how he has a chance. I mean, I understand he's been raised through the First Order and he's a great warrior, but Phasma is just a whole other level, a whole other level of nasty. I think she would have conceivably given Darth Maul a run for his money, quite honestly. I don't know. I mean, Darth Maul, of course, had the Force, but Phasma is just very frightening. Now, the thing I want to mention about Phasma here is after, you know, almost 300 pages, she finds the ship. They find the ship that they've been looking for this entire book so they can get medicine and basically get off this planet that's deteriorating. Really, it's Phasma's connection with her family, with her people that's deteriorating. And there's this huge fight scene, and she ends up murdering her brother, who is still just on one leg, and tries to rationalize things with her. But that kind of comes through as a little empty, considering that he should have stayed back with his people and just tried to kind of keep what they had going and foster that. Instead, he thought revenge was the way to go. Didn't go well. Everyone ends up dying, except for Civ. And in this traumatic, awful turn of events, the child from the sire that they protected so much, basically, Hux says, we need young children, so let's take her. And Phasma takes her from Civ in this chilling scene, and basically she says they keep Civ to be on the planet by herself after all the things she's done, all the sacrifice she has made, the fact that she is carrying a child of her own. Phasma keeps her back to her and says, you're weak, And when I was fighting in the arena with the Uratu, you showed mercy towards a villain. And so you're not coming. But she does lead her to another area where she is able to get medicine, and she meets all those strange droids again. But this time they're not subservient to some master, and they take care of her, and she does heal. But her heart is broken because she loses the child. Not her child, but the child from the sire. And she's betrayed by Phasma. And what we know from V is that she's still around, waiting to be rescued. But she's prospering with her child. But that sequence where Phasma betrays Civ and leaves her on Parnassus, I gasped out loud when I read that. And I thought, this is not cool. Like, I get that she's mean. I get that she's nasty. But that was awful. Really, she's a sociopath, honestly. She doesn't seem to have much along the lines of a conscience, quite honestly. And again, who knows what the end of this book will reveal, as will The Last Jedi. So, Dave, thank you so much for sending that. It was actually a really great way to go through this discussion. Interested to see what's going to happen. Dave wrote a side note that he finished the book because it was so good, and he's going to write back. And I hope that you do. I can't wait to hear your thoughts on the end of this book. And I can't wait to read the rest of this book. So we've got chapters 33 to 44 left, a little under 100 pages. And then we're going to be done with our second book study. It's been really fun. It's been challenging to keep up with it, honestly. And I've been doing this so that we could all read together and get this done for The Last Jedi. And it sure looks like that is going to happen. But Phasma, man, this is a book that really sticks with you. And I look forward to seeing what everyone else thinks, too. So we will take our last break and return with your emails. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are the podcast you're looking for. This is...
Before we close out the show, I want to thank our CWK sponsors, Penguin Random House Audio, and the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. Please support them the way you support our podcast. And remember to listen to new and archive shows of Coffee with Kenobi wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Podcast Addict, Stitcher, Spreaker, Overcast, Blog Talk Radio with their mobile-friendly app, Player FM, our Coffee with Kenobi website, www.coffeewithkenobi.com, or wherever you enjoy listening to your favorite shows. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, and Tumblr, and we'd love for you to check us out there. And while you're at it, be sure to listen to our CWK family of shows too, including Legends Library, Rebels Reactions, Comics with Kenobi, and Lattes with Leia. Please leave a review for each of their shows as well, and be sure to subscribe to each of them individually, as they all have their own iTunes feeds right now. A big thank you to Daniel Berry and Ryan Donohoe for joining us today. Where can listeners get in touch with each of you if they want to ask either of you a question or just say hello?
Well, Ryan quit the internet. No, I'm joking. Ryan, you're running most of the show stuff on social media.
Yeah, if you want to get in touch with our show, we're on Twitter at ForceCastNet. I'm still trying to hunt down the person that's sitting on at ForceCast and they're not doing anything with it. I'm going to find you one day. But yeah, we're at ForceCastNet, Facebook.com/ForceCast. You can go to our website, ForceCast.net. And I have a personal Twitter account, which is at RM Donahoe. But I think the last time I tweeted from there was April 26th. So I can't promise anything on that one.
I am at the D Bear on Twitter. It's THEDEEBEAR. I tweet quite often. I'm always on Twitter. Hit me up. I love chatting, as Dan well knows. And I also spend a lot of time on Instagram at Daniel Berry Drums. I post frequently, but I'm on there all the time. And then I've been running the ForceCast Facebook page, so I'm not great at it, but send me a message there too. It's just facebook.com/ForceCast.
And we will definitely put links to all of this in our show notes. Thank you again, guys, for coming on. And I want to thank each and every one of you for listening to and supporting Coffee with Kenobi and for contributing to Star Wars Conversation. We will be back next week for show number 100, so please feel free to email us in honor of our 100th episode. And if you are joining us for the CWK book study, we will be finishing the book of Phasma with chapters 33 to 44. This is the podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.